reading to you from the 5th chapter of John, and with the 46th verse. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And you know I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 45 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, and then 1 year later God called me to preach. Really, really be praying for us, because we've got some more men to visit one-on-one out in the prison. And I haven't, this last week, I haven't felt as sharp as I'd like to feel. So you might just pray for me that God will give me the strength to do all the things that I'm supposed to do. Well, listen, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. I just wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, how I thank you, Lord, for the open doors that you've given all of us. Oh, I thank you for the privilege of going into prisons and talking to these men one-on-one. Lord, there's some of these men, it's not right. And this one Indian boy, I do not believe in the depths of my heart he committed that crime. But Father, he put his trust in Jesus, and I know, Lord, you'll lead him and you'll guide him and you'll direct him. And when they send him back to Milwaukee next week, I pray, Lord, that there'll be somebody back there who will go see him and he'll get some help from the lawyers. And I pray, Lord, there'll be some Christians that we might contact who'd be more than happy to go visit with him. Lord, you know all the spiritual and physical, financial needs of all of our listening family. Some are very serious. Would you minister to their hearts tonight? Supply their needs. Supply the needs of this ministry. And precious Lord, I do pray that you'll honor your word, lift up Jesus. Precious Lord, hide me behind the cross that I might be a blessing tonight. Bless this message, Lord. Touch hearts and win souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, tonight I have titled the message of this address tonight is the book. Of course, I mean God's holy word. You will never, never find another book like it. After I was saved, I got into the Bible. I asked questions from our deacons, from our pastor. I'll bet they hated to hear from me. You see, this book supplies you with water and bread. It fills you up. Fills up those empty spots that are in your life. And dear friends, we all experience things like that in our life. And the Lord knows it. And I read in Hebrews 4:12, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What does it mean, sharper than any two-edged sword? Well, it separates a proud soul from a humble spirit. It also separates a proud soul from the righteous spirit. It separates a rebellious soul from an obedient spirit. And it separates an unbelieving soul from a believing spirit. God's word sees whether a person believes or does not believe his promise of rest. God sees all things. He knows if we believe in him and his promise of eternal rest or not. While preaching a revival, people would come forward and pray to receive Christ as their personal Savior. Friends, I did not know if they were sincere, even if some of them were crying. But God knew. I tell you, in prison, when 30 or 40 men or women come forward during the invitation, and I do not know how many of them are sincere, but beloved, God knows it, and God knows all things. It's my job to preach the gospel, and it's God's Holy Spirit to convict them and bring them to the truth. Well, now, why did God give us this book? Well, first of all, he gave it to us to tell us how to live. I know because I came from the bar to the church. I learned that there were things that a Christian could do and things that a Christian should not do. And I found it all right here in God's holy book. It teaches us how to walk. It teaches most of us how to talk. Friends, before I was saved, I swore like a sailor. I used God's holy name in almost every other word. Yes, he will clean up the way you talk. The Bible teaches us how to act and also react. I was carpentering with a Christian carpenter one day, and he hit his thumb with his hammer. Well, guess what he did? He threw his hammer as far as he could, and I expected him to cuss up a storm. He said, "Man, did that hurt." Now, before I was saved, I will guarantee you that if that had happened to me, the air would have turned blue. Christian brother and sister, the world is watching every step we make and every word we say. The Word of God will convict you. Before I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, as I told you before, we had two men aboard ship in Dutch Harbor, Alaska. They witnessed to me. They witnessed to all the men on the ship. We all made fun of them and called them Holy Joes and just a lot of terrible names. But they kept sharing Christ with us. You bet I was under conviction, because deep down in my heart, I really admired those two sailors for what they stood for. You see, the thing is, I wanted what they had, but I didn't want to give up the world to get it. The Word of God will change you, and I read in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become as new. Now, I will assure you, friends, that after I accepted Christ, I knew that something had happened in my heart. I felt clean all over. Remember, I told you when I walked out to the car to pick up my son and take him home, I lit a cigarette. You talk about conviction. Man didn't tell me smoking was wrong. God's Holy Spirit did. I have had many people say, "Man, you are not saved if you lit a cigarette." That's because you don't know beans from sour apples. You're not saved by quitting smoking. You're saved by grace through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works. I was saved and delivered from alcohol, but I did not want to give up my smokes. God's Holy Spirit kept working with my heart until, with his help, I gave them up. And believe me, he was the one that gave me the strength. So if that's one of your sins tonight, ask the Lord to help you with them, and he will. That is, if you're willing to give up your cigarettes. The Word of God will correct you. you're a Christian, and you start doing something that is wrong, you see how God will deal with you. Oh, yeah, he will. The Word of God will condemn you. Shortly after I was saved, I was still having financial problems, so I decided I'd do a roof on Sunday and miss church. I was up on that old roof banging on those shingles, and I heard church bells ring. Man, you talk about being condemned. So to ease my conscience, I went down and sat in my car and turned on a church service. And you know who was preaching? Don Mumaw, that great football player. And believe me, his message condemned me further. The Word of God will comfort you. When my wife and I and family moved to California from Seattle, we had borrowed money on our furniture. Oh, boy. I called the finance company and told them we were moving to California and I was taking the furniture with us. They said, okay. I guess whoever said okay never had the authority to do it. But anyway, I came home from work one night and my wife was crying. I said, what's the matter, Jean? She said, I just received a phone call from Seattle and the finance company are going to throw you in jail. I said, you're kidding. You know I got permission when we moved. She said, I know you that, but they're going to throw you in jail. Now, friends, let me tell you what I did. I went outside and started walking up down the street. I started to pray and I started to cry. I said, Lord, you know I did the right thing. Now they're trying to destroy me. I said, Lord, please lead me to a place in the Bible that will comfort my heart. Listen, friends, I walked back into the house, and the Lord led me to the 118th Psalm. Here's what it said. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? I thanked the Lord and got on the phone and called Seattle. I said, I want to talk to the manager. I said, my name is Cecil Moe, and I understand that you want to put me in jail. I said, sir, I used to be an alcoholic, and I walked the streets of Seattle many times. And God saved me and delivered me from the curse of alcohol. Now I'm preparing for the ministry. He said, Cecil, don't you worry about a thing. I know you will pay us. I thanked him. And again, I thank God for his mercy and grace. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Many of our listeners have come to that place in their life when they fell on their knees and they cried out for God to help them. He'll do it, friends. But you really got to trust him. Listen, friends. We have listened to the words of politicians, environmentalists, psychologists, economists, educators, and scientists, physicians, lawyers, governors, mayors, president. Don't you think it's about time we start listening to what God has to say? Listen what he says to the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever with him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, folks, he's speaking to the whole world. The black man, the white man, the yellow man, the brown man, the poor, the rich. No one is left out of this verse of Scripture if they will obey it. It's universal, international. You know, I was giving my testimony one time in a Mexican church, and I can't speak Mexican. I can't understand Mexican. But when this evangelist got up to preach, my eyes got as big as saucers, Cristo, and all these things. And when he gave the invitation, I could understand in my spirit that he was pleading with people to give their hearts to Christ. When my wife and I were in Japan and I was speaking over there, I remember this last night of our meetings, all of the evangelists and myself and my wife and met with all these Japanese in this great big church in downtown Sapporo. Now, these people sang Now I Belong to Jesus in Japanese. We sang it in English, and you know we could almost understand what they were saying. Oh, friends, this gospel, the Word of God is so true, and you can believe it. You can lay your life on it. In fact, the matter is, I've trusted my eternal salvation to this wonderful Jesus that we read about in the book. Listen to what God says to sinners. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. What is that name? Jesus. You say, but Cecil, I belong to the First Presbyterian Church, or I belong to the Catholic Church, or the Baptist. I don't care what church you belong to, nor does God. What He is concerned, are you trusting His Son? Do you know that your sins are under the blood? Then it makes a lot of sense. But don't depend on your church to get you into heaven, because it just won't. Nor will any preacher get you into heaven. Look what God says to the Christian, Matthew 11:28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto their souls. For my yoke is easy and my burdens is light. Oh, how many times I quote that in prison in one service. Come unto me. Some of you tonight are so burdened. You've got financial problems. You've got spiritual problems. You've got physical problems. And it looks like there's no end in sight. Well, I'll tell you, there is. If you would do what the Bible says, come to Jesus, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Oh, how true that is. Oh, I don't know how many times that I've called upon Him to find out that this is really, really true. Look what God has to say to mom and dad. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Folks, I have proved this scripture over and over with my own children, and it really, really works. Train your child upright. Let them know that there's a God. Let them know that you love Him and that you want them to have the same joy that you have. Listen to what God says to children, and I read in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. My dad, whom I loved, turned his back on me when my life was about to crumble. But I always loved him in spite of what he did. Listen, children, by obeying your parents, you might be adding length to your life. It says in Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon thy land, which the Lord God giveth thee. You know, friends, He gives us life. We have so many years to live, and no matter what you say, everybody is going to have to die. Now you've got a decision. Where do you want to spend eternity? Now, you're the one that makes the decision. Not anybody else. Not your preacher, not your church, not your mom, not your dad. It's you. Either you want to trust Him or you want to reject Him. Now, if you reject Him, then there's only one place for you to go when you die, and that's eternal hell. That's what the Bible said. I'm not watering it down. That's what the book said. Now, listen to what the Bible says to soul winners. Now, I read in Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. We need the power of God's Holy Spirit. Don't go out and try to win souls in the flesh. And that's why there's so many fleshly religions. They make a lot of noise, but they don't have any spirit. They say they have the Spirit, and I'm not looking in the heart and say they don't, but by their fruit you shall know them. In Daniel, it says, 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as a brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. Listen, if you'd like to read soul-winning stories, get a copy of my book, Hey James, Just One More Story. Now, friends, if soul-winning was real hard, I couldn't do it, because I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and that is not false humility either. God wants you as a Christian and me as a Christian to tell others about him. It's our job, not the job of the angels, but the job of the Christian. Listen to what God says to the deacons in 1 Timothy 3:13. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchased themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Anyone who has pastored church will tell you that if you have godly deacons, they are the best thing since peanut butter. And if they are not good, they make preaching very undesirable. I was blessed with one of the finest deacons that a man could ask for. He loved children, he loved old people, and he showed it in his life. He's up there in glory now, having a good time, because he earned it. Look what God says to missionaries, and I read in Matthew 28:18, And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, you're not alone tonight, beloved. You say, but Cecil, I've been a widow for many, many years. I lost my husband back in the 60s. And I'm sure that there's been a terrible loss in your life. But remember, you're never alone because Jesus is with you. You know, I told you the story about the doctor who was an alcoholic and God saved him. And one time a guy came to him for check on his and stuff. And he said, Doc, I want to ask you a question. Are you ever tempted to drink when you're alone? Well, I said, I suppose I would be, but I'm never alone. For you see, Jesus lives in my heart. Listen to what God has to say to preachers in 2 Timothy 4:12. Preach the word, be instant in season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Otherwise, God doesn't want us to be ear-tickling, pussy-footing, back-scratching preachers. He wants us to tell it just like it is. And friends, listen, I have tried that. Oh, I've made stupid mistakes in my life. Yes, I have. I'm not perfect. But all of it's under the blood because after I was convicted of the Lord, I went to him and I fell on my knees and I said, Lord, forgive me for what I did. And you know, he says, if we will confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive all sins. Not a part of them. Confess them all and he'll forgive them all. Look what God has to say to students. I read in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Beloved, listen to me. Listen to me. Many times in my Christian life, I've been out on a soul-winning thing. And this person would ask me a question. I didn't have a slightest idea how to answer it. I sure didn't. And I'd say, well, you know what? That really is a good question. Yes, it is. But really, that's not what I'm here for right now. First of all, I'm here to tell you how to be saved. Now, I don't know the answer to the question, but I will tell you, I will look it up, and I'll find it. There's not a lawyer in this world that knows all the law. Not one lawyer. They always have to look up cases and see how they come out. So don't feel like you're an idiot because you don't know all the questions. But most of all, don't try to fake it. Don't try to fake it. You tell them, I really, honestly don't know. May I have a drink of a cold drink in a second? You know what? There's nothing like grapefruit juice. It's sour, but yet it's good. Listen to what people say to our young people in Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw not, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasures in him. There's nothing I'd rather see than a young man who surrendered his life to be a preacher. If God's calling to preach. I remember one time I was teaching a bunch of high school kids. We had a young girl in our class, and she was just a little stinker. She really was. And no one liked her. And I said, let's start praying for her. There's something missing in her life. We don't know what it is. One day I went down to see her, and they were very, very poor, and her daddy was an alcoholic. And I went back and I told the kids, I said, we've got to love that little girl more. You don't know what she's going through. And you know, friends, one night during a revival, that young teenage girl got up and walked down the aisle with tears in her eyes, and she said, God is calling me to be a missionary. Oh, my friends, supposing we'd have been mean to her, never loved her, never prayed for her. Last but not least, listen to what God has to say to his church. Go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Are you doing that? Friends, I didn't even scratch the surface. We never covered the wonderful promises that God has given to his children. Christianity has many, many perks, a whole lot more than the world has to offer. Well, friends, let me ask you, do you know the Lord? You say, well, I know. I wrote a song that is titled, I Know the Lord, and I wish you knew him too. And that's my prayer tonight. If you do not know him, I want you to trust him. The Bible tells us, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Listen, if God is knocking on your heart door, you need for salvation. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to bow your heads and your heart, and I want you to pray this just simple old sinner's prayer. Would you like to do that? Now, I don't want you to do this if God's not speaking to your heart, but if he is tugging at your heart, I want you to bow your head and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I'm sorry, Lord, for all the things I did to you and my family, my loved ones, and my friends. Lord, I want to grow up to be a strong Christian. Help me to understand the Bible. Lead me to a good church. Help me to find a church that's telling the truth so I might not dry up on a vine but go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Friends, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I don't care where you go to church. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for money. I don't care where you go to church, but I am terribly concerned where you spend eternity. Call me at 303-471-8534. Call me before I go to bed, will you? Appreciate that.